us, the last, so people who come from Eretz Yisrael, they hear it again. Those people who come from Eretz Yisrael, you'll be hearing it three times. They lay in Parash, they lay in the first Aliyah, on Parashas Porah, and then last week and this week. Okay, Parashas Chukas begins with the mitzvah Porah Aduma. Porah Aduma Tmima, Rashi begins, one of the first Rashis tells us, the Yikhu Elech. It's a very interesting Rashi, is that you don't find this anywhere, any such type of Rashi. Rashi says, "Vichu lech, they shall take a lecha to you, you Moshe." Why does the pasuk say the word a lecha? The pasuk should say Zois Dabel Bnei Yisrael, v'yikhu, and they shall take a foro aduma timina. Why does it say a lecha? Rashi says, "Lo'olam hi nikreis al shemecha, poro she'osa." Moshe Bagdibo. Unbelievable. That every time we ever have a paraduma, paraduma is something which you needed every day. Anyone, the dead are all over the place. The living dead. Wherever you go, there are dead people.
But they say one paraduma could have lasted
forever. We know that's not so. We know that in history already
we did a few.
The Gemara has a calculation that during a 300 year period of time they did many of them. Did eight of them? Or, I don't know, seven of them.
There's a significance to that, but the point was, why is it so significant? It's because each one could theoretically last.
One para, you can produce enough ash for one para to last for all of time. Or one time. Because you only need a teeny, teeny mashu of ash in order to mix with an enormous amount of water, so you don't need too much ash. And you're right, but yet, whatever the reason was, there's obviously something to it of, at a certain point of time, in a new generation, a new era, you have to, times have changed. You're saying something very interesting point. The paradum represents the tahara, the purity of Klal Yisrael. And there are eras in Jewish history. You look at the big picture, and there are different eras, different times, have different needs, different situations, and there's a time where a generation has to contribute and purify themselves in a significant way, and part of that is to bring a paraduma. But it says here that every single paradumah will be nikreis al shemech. Every time a person is tame, comes in contact with the dead, which can happen very often. Go to a funeral, you finish. Okay, you go to a funeral, you walk into a chapel, you're in oil hametz. You go into a hospital, you're usually in a sofik, but more often than not, you're in an oil hametz. You go into a museum, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. They have mummies, skeletons, you right away, there's a very high probability that there is the majority of the skeleton of a human being is there, and one of their exhibits.
You're saying there is not the only the
Roiv Binyan. Roiv Binyan or Roiv Minyan of the skeleton, Mishnah, the Perish Mishnah.
Oil will not be there.
No, oil is. If I'm not mistaken, the Sech Oil is a Goy is Midrabon, it's not Midraisa.
So that's a whole hectare of colors.
Okay, so, okay, but we are Halacha L'mayis, at least Midrabonon. At least Midrabonon, the body of a Gnan Jew is Metame, but Oil Midrabonon, you need the Paraduma. Paraduma is something, that every single person in their life, living in a time when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's something very, very common. The same way people need to go to the mikvah. Everyone's going to need to have the kohen sprinkle upon him the water of the paraduma. And what is so surprising is what do you say about the paraduma? Oh, this is the para shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Excuse me. It's now Tavshin Pei Heilofen. Tavshin Pei Beis. Moshe has not been here for a very long time. How could you say that today, if we have a paraduma today, that this is the para li'oilam? Lo'olam, the para aduma will be nikra al shemech, on your name. What do you mean? We're not using anymore the para aduma of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're using the para aduma. We're up to already number 9. The last para aduma to have been made was number 9. It was made during the time. I'm not exactly sure.
Maybe they kept it.
Have to be mixed
on
the original.
Oh, So excellent. So there's Pshuta Shel Mikra and there's Midrashim. Rashi says something very, very important later on, not in this Rashi, in order to fill in the gap. And again, all this is subject to interpretation. And Rashi says, when they finally made the Paraduma, they divided the Paraduma into three parts. The ashes were divided into three parts. L'shloisha chalokim mechalukim. They burned the para. They have now a very large collection of ash. They broke into three parts. Echad nasan bahar hamishcha. One portion they stored on Har HaZeisim. Basically in the location where you burn the para. In the location where the para aduma is prepared. You slaughter the para. You sprinkle its blood towards the Beis HaMikdash, and then you burn it. So they kept ash in that location. The echad mischalik l'chol ha-mishmaros, one portion was given to all of the Kohanim, people all over the world, all of Eretz Yisrael, when they would want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, or they would want to stam, they wanted to become tahar. It's Yom Kippur, I want to be tahar. So you go to your local Kohen, he has in his possession ash of the Paraduma, and he would sprinkle upon you. So they got, they divided amongst all of the Kohanim in Klal Yisrael. The echad, right. Yeah. I said that. That's one portion. One portion was stored on Har HaZeisim. A second portion was distributed to all of the Kohanim for the service, for when people needed it practically. And the third was stored, the echad nosan b'chel. What is the chel? The chel is the small area between the gate, basically, of the Beis HaMikdash and the actual entrance into the Azara. Okay, there's the wall of the Azara. And before the wall of the Azara, there was a small area, and then there was a little wicker gate, and that area, there were signs that a Gentile is not allowed to enter, and in that little area, they stored a portion of the Paraduma. Now Rashi explains, Zeh, now this is the main part that we need, I'm sure Rashi on the way, Zeh Shebahar HaMishcha, Koyhanim Gidoylim, Zeh Shebahar HaMishcha, Koyhanim Gidoylim, Leparois Acherois Mikachin Heimena. In the future, when the need will come, now this is the key point, in the future when the need will come to make a new para aduma, they ran out of ash.
The static was
okay,
static,
okay, okay, okay,
well,
okay.
So.
When the need will come to make a new para aduma, they'll need it. So before you make a new para aduma, Rashi says, the Kohen, and he calls him the Kohen Gadol, even though the Kohen Gadol is not the one who does it. It's the Skan Kohen. But Rashi seemingly just referring to the Skan Kohen, he's also like a Kohen Gadol. Before he begins the process of slaughtering the para and sprinkling its blood and burning the para, he first has to be pure himself. So he will use the ash of the last para. Not only is he using the ash, it doesn't leave its place. This is the ash that was used, let's say at least 500 years ago was the last time they made a para aduma. And 500 years passed, they used up all of the ash. We now need to make a new para aduma. Before we make a new para aduma, like the Kohen Gadol, or the Skan Kohen, I'm going to purify myself in preparation. I will go to the mikvah. I will go to the mikvah, and I will count 3 days, and I will take some of the ash here on Har HaZeisim and mix it in the water and sprinkle it upon myself, or someone will do it for me. And I'll wait until day 7, do the second time, and now we're ready to go. Now we will slaughter the para aduma, collect its blood, sprinkle it, and burn the para, and now prepare a new batch of ash that will be good to go for the next 500 years.
Remix it?
Yeah, whatever the process is. But before he begins to slaughter the next para aduma, he first must purify himself. And the purification of himself is done with the ash of the last para aduma that has not left this location. This location of where we slaughtered the last Paraduma, make believe 500 years ago, after the preparation was complete, we take a portion of that ash and we put it for safekeeping. We put it for safekeeping in a vault right here on Har HaZeisim, in the location where we did the slaughtering of the Paraduma. And this will be the ash that the Kohen 500 years from now will use to purify himself before he proceeds to slaughter the next Para Aduma that will provide ash for the next 500 years. That's
how can anyone become Torah now? We don't know where the ash is from the last time.
Good. That's the only kasha you have. That's the only. Okay? Okay, whatever will be, will be. Good, excellent. I have the same question, and right away, we have many questions, okay? But that's what it says. I'm not making this one, it says in Rashi. Mefarish Rashi. And now, interesting, what about the other two? What about the other two, the other two parts of the Paraduma? And they go, V'zeh shebechel nosen l'mishmeres m'gzeres ha-kosof. Fascinating. And the chel is a mishmeres. You should know about it. It's like, just like we put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the mon, and the Mate Aroin. What else was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The mon, the Mate Aroin. And there's another thing. What? The Shiva is in the Aron. The Shiva Luchas is in the Aron. Okay, that's okay. Yes, a good point. Okay, Shiva Luchas. There was three things. There was the Mon, the Mate Aron. It could be. I don't know. Okay, there were things that were put away in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. The Afer Paraduma was put away in the Chel, not in the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Yeah, that was
the Shemen HaMishcha. There were three things that were in the Kodesh HaKodashim that Chazal mentioned. The Shem, the Luchos were in the Aron itself. But just put away in the Kodesh HaKodashim was the Shemen HaMishcha, the Mate Aron, and the Tzinsenes HaMon. Just like there was the Mishmeres for these three things, there was also a Mishmeres of Afer Paraduma, not for use. Don't touch it.
An exhibit
in the chel. Why? Doesn't say anywhere why. Doesn't say anywhere. Not for use. When you need it to be practically purified, you go to the Kohanim. That's the Mishmaras. That's the 24 Mishmaras of Kohanim. Each got a package of ash, and they would distribute among themselves. And anyone who needed to purify themselves before coming into the Beis HaMikdash would have to go to one of the Kohanim who had access to the Ash. But the portion of Ash in the Chel is an exhibit. It's not for use. Also, it's just as an exhibit. Yeah?
Is it the original
promotion? Oh no, so maybe yeah. That's a very tough question. But certainly, the content. That's what we're coming to talk about. That's what we're coming to for you too. Migzeres hakasav shemamar. And what about the other? So this is the Perush Rashi. They're two completely different Rashis, but we have to put the two Rashis together to make sense of this. Rashi first says, the Rashi first says, the yichu elecha, they shall take to you. The word elecha does not belong in this pasuk. The pasuk should say, v'yikhu, the Jewish people shall produce a para, a fora azuma tenima, and begin the process. The Torah is not satisfied by saying, v'yikhu fora azuma, but adds, v'yikhu elecha, to you, Moshe. Rashi, what is this word doing here? Lo'oilam ki nikreis al shemecha. Every time a Jew goes to a kohen and says, I'm tamei, purify me. I want to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. I went to a Leviah last week. I'm Tamei Meis. Okay, it's a seven-day process. And you need ash. So give me, where's the ash? Bring me the ash. Don't call it ash. It's the Afer Apara Aduma Shel Moshe. It was always called Al Shem Moshe. You have to say Moshe. You won't go to the coin and say, I need the ash. What ash? Para Aduma Shel Moshe Ash. You always have to mention the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu? My Indian Shemitah Eitel Har Sinai. So go fast forward a couple of Rashi's later on, and Rashi tells you this fascinating insight that when they prepared the Para Aduma, they took all the ash and they broke it up into three parts. Not necessarily equal parts, but there was an amount of ash that was put away in a vault on Har HaZeisim, waiting for the next paraduma to be used by the Kohen Gadol, whoever, before they would prepare, they would first go through a ritual purification from the old ish. And then par was given to the Kohanim, and what was put in the Mishmeres? Memela, what happens? Every time you would prepare a new Parah Aduma, you were making a statement in essence. Now we're up to Parah Aduma number what? Number two. Let's say, make believe, 500 years passed since the Parah Aduma of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is no longer alive. Klal Yisrael is now in a new place. They're in Eretz Yisrael, they're in the Beis HaMikdash. We need new ash. When we make the new ash, this new ash is built upon the foundation of the ash of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a Shoshelis HaDoros. The Tahara, the purity of Klal Yisrael is like a chain. It's Mushrash in Moshe Rabbeinu. When a person purifies himself, even today, well, today I have ash. When this ash was prepared, first the Kohen Gadol sanctified himself with the ash that was made on this spot in Har HaZeisim from the last time, 500 years ago. And 500 years ago, when that Kohen Gadol prepared that Parah Aduma, he sanctified himself with the leftover ash from the ash that was from the previous Parah Aduma. And it never even left this location. There was a powerful statement being made every time you prepare a new Parah Aduma. The purity that we desire to achieve is rooted in our past. And the past goes back to the past. All the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael, V'yikhu Eilecha Fara Aduma Tumima. And why? Why is it so bad? But it's very partial because what is the Parah Aduma coming to atone for? It's atoning for the Chet Ha'egel. That's all the Rashi's. Farah Aduma Tanima, the Jewish people were stained red in sin 100%. The guilt, the fact that the Parah Aduma must be completely red with not even 2 years that are any other color, is because it represents the Jewish people that were in Avon. If your sins are ketoila, like red, Hashem says, I'll cleanse you. Klal Yisrael was thoroughly guilty. Thoroughly guilty, never forget that. Thoroughly guilty in worshipping the Egel. After Hashem took what Hashem did for them, what Hashem promised the others, your disloyalty to the others by worshipping the Egel, and your disloyalty to Moshe Rabbeinu, who took her out of Mitzrayim, and the Nizam and the Flois, and Hashem gave you the Torah. After all that, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Mitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah HaTorah, he couldn't wait another day? Maybe Moshe will still come? Maybe he'll still come? He couldn't wait? And he had to make an Egel, and he had to say to the Egel, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Tziyacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. They offered a sack of karbonis. You know what they brought? You know what they brought the eagle as a sacrifice? The man. The man that Hashem gave them to survive. Oh, let's take the man and bring it as a mincha to the eagle. The guilt is so great, it's beyond belief.
Oh, they bring that, they wouldn't have anything to eat the next day.
What?
And they wouldn't, it was like a gola, so that means they gave up their food to the...
They gave up, you're saying the umaysu nefesh, because they gave up their food for it, very good. And yet, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're done, the Jews are done, they are so guilty. The guilt is so great, there is no hope for them. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to start all over again just with you. And Moshe, v'yichal Moshe, es p'nei Hashem, v'loka v'yohimer, lomo Hashem, Zechor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, he saved us. He saved us. The Parah Aduma and part of the Kapara will be on Pokti Pokadati, and a significant part of the Kapara, Parah Aduma, every time a person wants to purify himself, it's a partial atonement for the Chet HaEgel. It doesn't go away, it lingers on forever, the Chet HaEgel. And we should always remember, it's only because of Moshe Rabbeinu was still here. The atonement of the Chet HaEgel is the Parah Aduma. The mother should come and clean up her mess. The Egel. The Egel is the baby Rashi in the very beginning of the parasha. The Egel is the baby of the para. Klal Yisrael were guilty as sin. You're not allowed to work the para. Just like Klal Yisrael, they threw off their neck the yoke of Hashem. They threw off Hashem, Ol Malchus Shem, they threw it off. So the para should represent the Jewish people. It's red, guilty, no yoke. They remove the yoke of Hashem, and they deserve to be destroyed. The par is completely burnt. They deserve to be destroyed. And along came Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe saved us. He was Mespalel, Zuchor, Li Avraham, Li Yitzchak, Li Yaakov, Mocheini no Misifuch Asher Kosofta, and therefore we pay tribute to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the tribute is the Shalshelas Averis. Every single para that we make, before you make a new para, take from the, you start off the ceremony by taking from the ash of the previous para, which continues the chain, the cycle, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, to never forget the chesed of Moshe Rabbeinu, who saved us. He was misfollowed and brought about a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, where Hashem said, the emche oisam, I'm going to wipe them out. Ve'eseh oisecho legoi godol, am vorov, even greater than that. And Moshe said, no, you're going to forgive them. You're going to forgive them. And the Parah Aduma is a chelik of that forgiveness. Karbon, it's a karbon. And therefore, it's Nikra al Shemecha forever. And there's a Shasheles Hadoros in this continuous cycle going all the way back. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go now to the Ne'am Riva. I want to show you the Vart. I think there's something very important this Vart. After the Parah Aduma, we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi tells us, Vayovo, Vnei Yisrael, Kol Ho'eda. We fast forward 38 years fast forward. Everyone who was Nichshol in the Chet HaEgel, the Meraglim in the Chet of the Meraglim, died. It's now the last year in the desert. That's why it says Kol Ho'eda. Rashi says there's no one left. No one from that generation was left. It's only now the generation that will enter into Eretz Yisrael. And they're all ready to go. And Miriam dies, and there's nothing to drink. The water fountain doesn't work. So what are they going to do? They come to Moshe. Moshe was thirsty. Moshe's okay, no problem. Moshe's going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe's poised to go into Eretz Yisrael. And there's nothing to drink. Okay, so Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe le'emar, kach es ha-mate, take the mate. That was misleading. Why are you taking the mate for? I'm a mate. And Hashem is telling you to take the mate, it must be, I'm going to give a zetz. What else do you take the mate for, right? You take the mate, it's a hit. Take the mate! Ve'akel le'so eida, gather the eida, atav yaron achicha. And then Hashem says, but don't hit the rock. Don't do what you did 40 years ago, 39 years ago. Take the matzah and put it down. Just take it and show them you don't have to hit.
There were other times that Moshe performed active by just raising the matzah.
Seven times we have in Tanakh. Eight times. There are eight different stories where Moshe took the matzah. Rabbi Cohn, I don't see him here today. This is one of his favorite verdloch about the matah Aaron. And Aaron, he told me that in Torah you have eight times Moshe took the matah. The matah was used in Chumash. Eight times. Seven were authorized and one was unauthorized. One was an unauthorized use of the matah. Seven of them were explicitly told by Hashem. One time Moshe on his own took the matah. And seven Hashem told him to take the matah. Hashem says take the matah, and Hashem is vidibartin ala selah, but don't hit the rock. Speak. El asela le'inayim. V'nosam le'imav. V'yotzei selochem maimin asela. V'yishki yisoes o'edav yes v'yirom. So v'yikach Moshe asa mate. M'lefnei Hashem. Kasher etzimu. He took the mate. V'yakilu Moshe v'yarnes kol akohol el p'nei asola. This Rashi says it was a miracle. Ma'at machzik es ha'merube. The entire Klal Yisrael was watching. How can you fit 3 million people in one location? Rashi says it is a miracle. Today, the ma'at, that's ma'at, is the internet. Today, you have a miracle today. You have a ma'at, ha-machzikes ha-merube. The entire world can watch up close anything you want. Ma'at, machzikes ha-merube. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't know the technology they had, but it says here, Rashi says, one of the places where the entire 3 million people in Klal Yisrael were watching right up front, had front row seats. A miracle. How can 3 million people have front row seats can watch Moshe Rabbeinu do what he's about to do? Vayem Elohem. Now Rashi over here says there's a lot of missing information in this pasuk. Rashi explicitly says Moshe, it's very important exactly what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu, he looks for the rock. He looks for the rock. Hashem told him, this rock. And Moshe Gad, all of a sudden, the rock, that's what it says in Rashi, I'm not making this up, the rock decides, no, I'm not in the mood now. So the rock itself picks itself up and walks away. And the rock hides amongst other rocks in the desert. There's a whole forest of rocks, and this rock says, you know, what's going on over here? A spectacle here. Everyone's looking at me. You're gonna hit me. I'm not interested. The rock rolls away into the sunset, into all the other rocks. And Moshe goes looking. Can you imagine the show? Can you imagine what's going on? 3 million people. The program will begin shortly. Okay. The program entirety time. You drive me crazy. If the program doesn't start on time, the people go away. You gotta start bidiyuk. And if chas v'shalom, the program is delayed by 1 minute, you better have a banner, a sign on the screen. The program will begin shortly. Keep the audience informed there's a delay, because the day delay, you lose the people. People, stats, it's money. Every number, every person that you got logged in is money. Don't lose, you got the program, and all this emotion about the rock. Where did the rock go? Where did it go? Gone. So Moshe, there's a delay. The program will begin shortly. And Moshe starts looking for the rock, and he's looking and looking and looking and looking, and he can't find it. Rashi says this. He can't find the rock. So the people say to him, Moshe, this is a magic show. You're going to talk to a rock, and water's going to come out. What difference?
Which rock?
What difference? Who cares? Anyway, it's a miracle. Talk to this rock, talk to this rock, talk to that rock. Who cares? So Moshe says to them, he says to them, Omar Lohem, Shimuna Hamoirim. Right. Shaitim. You idiots. So he says in Rashi. Beloshim Yevani. Shaitim. You idiots. Then Rashi Nalabshah. You're telling me what to do. Where I come from, the Rebbe tells the Hasidim what to do. The Hasidim don't tell the Rebbe what to do. You're telling me I should take a different rock? It doesn't make a difference. If Hashem told me this rock, it's this rock and only this rock. After 40 years, you don't understand that? That you follow instructions exactly? These are the instructions. This is the rock. Shimuno ha-moyim, ha-minasela ha-zeh, this rock. That's not the rock that Hashem told me. Noitzi lochem moyim. You think it's the rock? So Moshe then thought, he found, oh, I found it. I found it. He identified the rock, get over here. He pulls the rock over, and Moshe, Rashi says, made a mistake. He thought, this is the rock. But he made a mistake. Moshe made a mistake. Rashi says it's the Pharish. It wasn't the right rock. But Moshe, because obviously the people, they were putting enormous pressure. 3 million people, all have front row seats, are criticizing him. And he has to say to them, Shimuno Hamoirim, the show is not going the way he thought. And Moshe was under enormous pressure, and he found what he thought was the rock. But it really wasn't the rock. And he brings it. And he says, Mr. Rock, or maybe Rabbi Rock, please give forth your water. Nothing happened. Why did nothing happen? It wasn't the right rock. So Moshe was shocked. I told you to give forth the water. Moshe did not realize that's not the right rock. He didn't realize. And Moshe asked politely, give forth water. Nothing going. So Moshe was really, I'm in a lot of trouble now. Hashem told me to take the matzah and to speak to the rock. There was a delay. The rock disappeared. We put out a search committee. We found it. We brought it back. I'm speaking to it. Nothing's happening. And this is the rock. I don't know what to do. Maybe Moshe didn't start. Maybe Hashem told me to take the matzah. He wants me, I should speak and hit, both. I already spoke. So let me try hitting, because 40 years ago Hashem told me to hit. Let me try to hit. He gives a clap. Teeny little drops come out of it. Why is it only small drops? It's the wrong rock. Rashi implies, at some point in time, Moshe realized, I know why it's not working. It's the wrong rock.
Nothing should come out of it.
Good question. Yes, a very good question. I don't know the answer. Yes, a very good question. He asked a good question. Why did something come out? Nothing should come out. He asked very good. I don't know why. You asking good? I don't know.
That's a better question. Why did the rock run away? Didn't want water to come out.
Good question. These are all good questions. I don't know the answer to any of these questions. They're all, each one itself is a topic to delve into, to understand the moral lesson in all of these things. But this one, we're learning with the mamish Rashi. We're not learning anything esoteric. We're learning the basic stuff they teach in kindergarten. Rashi, Chumash Rashi. The rock, little drops come out. Then it dawned upon Moshe Rabbeinu after the little drops, you know something? This is the wrong rock. It's the wrong rock. So they sent out another search committee and they found the real rock.
Was it the same rock all the time?
No, it's exactly the same. What do you mean? No,
it was every time they stopped. Yeah,
then no, it was a be'er. It wasn't a rock. No, that was no. It was a be'er. It was not a rock. No, for 40 years, for 38 years, there was no rock. There was a well, Miriam's well. Now we're dealing with a rock. It's the wrong rock. Oh, it's the wrong rock. Oh, so now they go and they look again, and they find the real rock. Oh. They bring the real. What should Moshe Rabbeinu have done now?
Speak to it.
Speak to it. But since Moshe already got confused and he was misled that the rock was, there was another rock and he spoke and nothing happened and then he hit it because it didn't make any sense. He spoke to it and nothing happened. So Hashem told him to take the matzah also. So maybe Hashem hit it. He got more confused and now when they found the real rock, what did he do? He hit the rock. First time. And because it was the real rock, like a fire hydrant, water came out nonstop. Hashem then says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron, you know, Rashi explains, if this would have been between me and you, a private matter, I would forgive you in a second. But the whole Klal Yisrael was present here. 3 million people, all with front row seats. And at the end of the day, Hashem, everyone knew that Hashem told you to speak to the rock. And at the end of the day, everything is said and done, you took the mat and you hit the rock. Okay? There was a lot of confusion. It's not your fault. At the end of the day, you did the wrong thing. And therefore, you are mechallel my name. Chilul Hashem. You are mechallel my name, l'hak yishemi, l'eilei v'nei Yisrael. Therefore, you are no longer going to be, now this is a very important point, it's not that you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem basically said, you can go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'm not denying that. You can go. You can no longer be the leader of the Jewish people. Explicit in the pasuk. It doesn't say, l'chein lo savo. It doesn't say that. Lo savi'u. You will not be the leader to bring the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael.
But is that what Moshe wanted? He's always complained that.
No, there's a whole medish. So Moshe Taka took up Hashem, according to the medish, exactly this. Moshe says, okay, fine, so I won't be the leader. I'll go in as an individual. Hashem said, going in as an individual will be worse than Gehenna for you. to watch someone to sit in the back row and to watch someone else be the leader. So therefore, if you're not going to be the leader, it's in your best interest and you should not go either. Moshe could have gone if he wanted. But Moshe was not punished and you cannot go. You can go. The punishment over here is you are no longer the leader of the Jewish people. It's a very tragic parasha. Your leadership is over. You're done. You're no longer the leader. Resign. I want to see from you a letter of resignation now. You're finished. You're fired. Lo tzaviu es hakohol hazeh el ha'aretz asher nasatim. If you would have done this mistake between me and you privately, big deal. But the whole Klal Yisrael saw this. You're fired as a leader. You want to go as an individual? Try. You're going to see it's not going to be good in your best interest. Most of you right. It's not going to work. I have to die now. Now, what's going on here? What's the terrible sin? Let me just read the Rashi to make sure, just to show that I'm not making anything up over here. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk, you know, what I'm saying is very, very simple. It's a very simple pshat. You say it. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayakilu. I mean, Asela Hazelafi. Shlohayu Makirin Oisai. They didn't recognize the stone. The stone ran away. Lefi Shoholach Asela. The seller walked away. Shoholach Asela. The seller has legs. It picks itself up. You ever see a stone walk? You ever see a stone walk? It walks away. Vayoshavlo. It sat down. Bein Hasiloim Kishin Salek HaBe'er. When the Be'er went away, the stone went away. Vahoyu Yisrael Oimim Lohem. Molochem. Moshe, what difference does it make? Me'eze Sela Toitziu Lonu Mayu. It's a miracle. Who cares? Pick any stone. Ini, mini, mini, mo. Lochem. Omar Lochem. Hamoirim. Oh, you people, you are rebels. Sarvonim, stubborn people. Lashon Yivani, in Greek this means shaitan, idiots, fools. Moirim es moireim. You're teaching your teachers. A student learns from the teacher. The student doesn't teach the teacher. Hamina sela hazeh sheloi nitzavinu Allah. Noitzi lochem moyim. Hashem did not command me to speak to this stone. When Hashem gives you a command, you do what Hashem tells you to do exactly with precision. Pamoyim, then Moshe hit the stone twice. What if it's twice? Lefi sheberishoino lo yhoitzi ela tipin. Moshe hit it once and only little drops came out. Why? Lefi sheloitziva hamokom lahakoisoi ela vidibar temela sela. Hashem told Moshe to speak. The Hema Dibru, Moshe the Aaron spoke. They did exactly what Hashem told them to do. But look here, this is very critical what it says in Rashi. But when Moshe and Aaron spoke, they mistakenly spoke to the wrong stone. When they went out to the search and they found it, they brought back a stone and they were convinced this is the correct stone, but it was not. El Sela Acher. To a different stone. And that's why only Tipin came out. V'loi hoitzi. Amru, they said, Shema tzorich lehakoisoi kibori shayna. Maybe we're supposed to hit it. Like it says back in the previous, in 40, 30 years ago, 39 years ago, the first time they did this. Shenema v'kisa v'atsur. Now here comes the part of Rashi. What happened? Rashi doesn't tell you the whole story. Ultimately, they hit it. Nothing happened. And in the process, they realize they're hitting and talking to the wrong stone. And eventually, the Nizdamein Lohem Oisoi Sela, the real stone, the Hikohu, and they hit it. Okay, what's going on here? It's very, very simple. In essence, what was the Chil Hashem? The Chil Hashem is the most fundamental principle that a leader must follow, and if he violates this principle, he's done. Practice what you preach. The Chil Hashem here was enormous. Moshe Rabbeinu, within Toich Kedei Dibur, told the people, when Hashem tells you to do something, you do exactly what he tells you to do. How dare you tell me I should talk to this rock and not this rock? Hashem told me this rock. Don't tell me, oh, it doesn't make a difference, it's all the same. One moment later, Moshe Rabbeinu violated publicly his own Musa that he gave the Jewish people. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. Didn't you just tell us one moment ago that when Hashem tells you to do something, don't extrapolate. Don't make assumptions. Oh, what's the difference? This rock, that rock, they're all the same. What's the difference? Speaking to the rock, hitting the rock, it's all the same. You can talk to the rock, you can hit the rock. Look, 39 years ago, I hit the rock. So now that Hashem said to me, speak to the rock, what's the difference? Speak to the rock, hit the rock, I hit the rock. The juxtaposition of Moshe Rabbeinu's Musa to Klal Yisrael and his own deliberate violation of the Musa that he gave them, the rules that I'm giving apply to you, but they don't apply to me. You, I'm telling you, shaitim, shaitim. If Hashem says A, it means A, not B. But I'm above the law. I am above the law. Hashem said, speak. What's the difference? Speak, hit, it's all the same. Last 39 years ago, Hashem told me to hit. So I hit that. I'll hit now again. If Moshe Rabbeinu, out of nowhere, we're having a presentation today. 3 million people come. Hashem told me to speak to the rock. To speak to the rock and it will bring forth water. And the rock comes. Front and center. And Moshe talks to the rock, and water doesn't. And Moshe, instead of Hashem told me to speak to the rock, and Moshe forgets himself, and he takes a stick and he hits the rock. No big deal. But one moment ago, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, "When Hashem tells you to do something, you don't deviate one iota. You don't deviate one iota, but I can deviate. I'm different. I'm above the law." I am above, the leader is above the law. You don't deviate. But I, Hashem told me to speak to the rock, but I'm going to deviate. I'm going to hit the rock. The juxtaposition of Moshe Rabbeinu's Musur to Klal Yisrael, and then his blatant violation of this rule regarding himself, is showing Klal Yisrael that leaders are above the law. A leader is allowed to be a little bit corrupt. I got here. I have entitlements where I can deviate just a little bit. You cannot. But I'm a leader. The leader has privileges where they're allowed to have a slush fund here and there and allowed to do whatever they want above the law. Prosecute people. That's a tremendous, you freezing cold?
One degree.
This is the ultimate violation of the rules of leadership. A leader has to adhere to the law even more than his followers. That's a real Chil Hashem. In Klal Yisrael, a leader, you're not above the law. You're not above the law. Adarava, you set the example for Klal Yisrael. And if you're corrupt, what do you expect from your followers? And within one sentence, he tells them, Moirin, you're shaitin. If it's this rock, it's not this rock. You got to be precise. And in the next moment, Hashem told me to speak. Lav dafka. I could hit the rock also. What kind of example does Moshe set to Klal Yisrael? This is a flaw in leadership. And Hashem says, if that's the case, you cannot be the leader. If that's the case, you, lochei lo soviu es hakohol hazeh. You're fired. A leader has to follow even Moshe Rabbeinu. No one is above the law. Okay, so this is trying to bring out, of course, no one is chas v'shalom, God forbid, to criticize Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was everything. There was a very difficult situation over here, obviously. 3 million people putting pressure on Moshe Rabbeinu, complaining, was starving, we're dehydrated. Where's the water? This rock, that rock. There was an enormous, enormous pressure we can't even begin to imagine. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was medatikim tzadikim kechut hasara. And Rashi says the sin was nearly nothing. It's only because of the chil Hashem in public. But even that's hard to understand. But I think there's how can you ignore what it says here in Rashi? With one teichid deyibor, he's telling them, shaitim, it's you cannot deviate from Hashem's tzivui one iota. And then in the very next second, Moshe deviates from Hashem in public, in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. That's not a leader. A leader has to be follow, practice what you preach. With all of the exponents that you can add to that. And the fact that he did not do so, Hashem immediately responded, Yan Lahem Mantem Bi Lahakishem. You do not believe in me, sanctify me, Le'enei B'nei Yisrael. It's unfortunate, it's tragic. No one's denying the tragedy of Nei Meriva. Heima Nei Meriva Asher Rabbeinu Yisrael Hashem Ha'Yikadosh Baruch Hu. And the Musar obviously, the Musar obviously is practice what you preach. I mean, what more is there to is there to learn from this? Okay.
You can learn from there also that your speaking shouldn't be a hindrance.
You're speaking, what do you say, yeah?
Your speaking shouldn't be a hindrance. When you speak to somebody, you shouldn't be a hindrance with your speaking.
Don't be a phony. Don't get it. Yeah, you have to be. I want to conclude very, very quickly. We spent a lot of time. When we started today with Edoim.
What you're saying is, yes, when you're speaking, be gentle.
Correct.
That's what you say. Don't hit.
Don't hit.
That's another idea. That's another.
Don't hit with your
speaking.
Don't be angry.
But that's another problem. Because the person gets angry. The punishment. Gets angry.
You don't do it in front of people.
Okay, I just want to conclude with Sichon. Not Sichon, Edom. Klal Yisrael, they come to Edom. And they say to Edom, they said, we want to pass through the land. Okay, we started with this. In the morning, with the Navi. I have it over here. Okay, here it is. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim el Malachim Mikodesh el Melech Edom Kayma Achicha. Klal Yisrael wants to pass through the land of Edom on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Vayerdu, and they give this, Moshe Rabbeinu sends a long message, a long elaborate message. Rashi is very beautiful, explaining all the details of the message. And Vayomer Lov Edom. Edom responds to Moshe Rabbeinu's plea, Loi sa'avor bi, pen b'cherev etzei eilech. I just want to make a little bit of a deal here. I don't know if there's any truth to this. What's the whole purpose of the Torah telling us all these arguments? Why is the Torah telling us all these arguments? Today I said, don't bother negotiating with the Goyim. We'll get you nowhere. Watch out, they're evil and they're lethal. And you see here where Moshe Rabbeinu, the best negotiator in the world, was unable to make a dent in Edom, our brother Edom. Edom, Esav, the end was they said, watch out, you dear Vayomer Elov Edom Loi Savar Bi, Pen Bacherev Eitzei Likrosech. So, then they said, "Vayomer Elov Bnei Yisrael, b'Mesila now. Let's go on b'Mesila. Go through a path. So we won't go through your land. Let's go on a side road. We'll go through a service road. No, lo yisavar. Vayomer lo yisavar. Vayetsa Edom likrosu ba'am kaveid v'yot chazaka. Who with a ritzicha? Don't you dare. Vayimoyin Edom nisoyin es Yisrael avar b'gvulon. They refuse over and over. Refuse. What's the whole purpose of this whole story? What is going on? Why is the Torah telling us all this? All of this, everything is ma'is avos simul abanim.
Well,
There is one mashu of saving grace. I don't know if I'm saying this true or not. It's a drush. And that's the word pen bacherev eitze likrosach. What does the word pen mean? Pen means maybe. If you come near, don't pass by, pen, because maybe, if you're going to do that, it might be I'm going to have to come out with my sword to kill you all.
You're citing the right.
Pen. Now, there are two words for maybe in Tanakh. There's the word ulai and the word pen. Hishamer lecha pen. Don't lose your pen. Okay, there are two words, pen and ulai. What is the difference? Ulai means maybe, and pen means also maybe. Who used the word ulai? Oh, you want it to happen. Eliezer. Ulai lo yoyve ho'ishe lo leches achara.
But not necessarily.
Right.
Yaakov, ulai u'sheni ha'pi.
Ulai, he wanted to. Adarabah, the Farshim said that Yaakov could not deal with this sheker. It was against his nature. He was hoping and praying that he should be discovered. Ulai. Maybe, I hope it does happen. I hope that the fraud is exposed because I cannot deal with the sheker of taking the brachas with deception. Ulai, I'm being forced into this by my mother. Ulai, maybe my father will feel me and discover I'm not really Esav. Eliezer, Rashi says the Farish, had a daughter, and Eliezer wanted Yitzchak for his own daughter. Ulai lo yovay ho'ishol oleches achar. Maybe the girl's not going to want to come back to Yitzchak. I sure hope he doesn't, because I want your son for my daughter. When you say pen means I really, really don't want to do this. I really don't want that. In the worst way, only the very, very last resort. Esav pulled off a holocaust. Destroyed Klal Yisrael. Inquisition, pogroms, crusades, the tsars that they've done is unreal what they've done, and they did it with a relish, with a like we learned today, the shetef mayim rabbi. Moshe doesn't know that. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know that. Who are you dealing with? You're dealing with halitani na min ha'adoyim ha'adoyim azek ki oyef anoyef. He doesn't know the mitzicha al charbucha yichya. What is Moshe Rabbeinu wasting his time negotiating? Moshe knows what the answer is. The answer is no, you're dealing over here with criminals. You're dealing over here with Reitzin. You know what Moshe accomplished in this negotiation? And arguing with them and telling them about the Jewish history and reminding them, there was a Gezerah. There was a Gezerah on Klal Yisrael. Of Avodim, of the Zera of Avraham, of Avodim, the Ili Oysam Aram Yoshana, and we, and this Gezer was on you, as like it was upon us. And now we paid off the debt for you, and therefore the very least you can do as in Derech Eretz, and let us just peacefully pass through your land. What's he going? He's telling them very powerful concepts. And Moshe knows the answer. When you deal with a barbarian, it's not going to make a difference. But as a drush, perhaps, it's a miracle that we're still around. Like I told you this week, I told you about Eichmann, what they discovered from Eichmann. We were hoping for 10.3 million. Well, that's what we were hoping for, 10.3 million. We only got in six. We fell short. Why, Taka, didn't they do 10.3 million? So I want to say a drush is that it was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the answer at the end of the day is zero. But he, a mashahu, weakened their resolve to destroy us. He weakened their resolve, the difference between ulai and pen. Why didn't Esav, Edom, say to Moshe, Moshe, you want to come pass through our land? If you dare, one of your people, dear, puts their foot over the border. Ulai, Yetzei, what was the pasuk again? Loisavarbi, ulai. Bacherev Eitzei Likro Secha. Try me. Try me. I hope you do. I can't wait. Ula. Ula means it might happen. If you put your foot over the border, we'll launch the nukes. Ula. And I hope you do. Because my finger is on the trigger. I can't wait to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu, he knew the answers. He knew we were dealing with mass murders. But he weakened their resolve from Ulai to Pen. He weakened them and he said, you know, Moshe, you're really right. You're really, really right. Va'avodam the inu oisam arba me'oshana, we should have paid part of the price. You did it for us. Doesn't change anything. We'll kill you anyway. But we're not going to kill you with the relish that we really want. Because your sanctity and your persuasion has dampened our zest from Ulai to Pen. Now, I don't know if I can say, you can even say such a thing. You can say such a thing. To me, because it's very interesting, to me, this is why Taka did Esav say? Esav is such a mass murderer. Vayoymer Elov Edom. Loisavarbi. The whole word pen doesn't even belong here. Loisavarbi. Bacherev Eitzei Alecha. Because if you pass over the land, pen less.
Well,
pen means maybe.
What he's saying is, I dare you.
I dare you. But you say dare you can say dare you in two ways.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Go for it. But when you say, but then what is your covenant? Do you really want the person to go for it or not? So there are two different words.
Well,
there's the word ulai and there's the word pen. And we have a general rule. Ulai means I want you to go for it. Because that will then give me the license to kill you all.
Right.
To kill you all.
Right.
Pen means I don't really want to do this. But I'm going to do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to do it. But I really would rather not do it. I'm trying to suggest that this whole story over here, when the Torah records something, it doesn't record something just, there's a message. Moshe here persuaded. If the Torah records Moshe's persuasion and their response, it cannot be that Moshe's argument was flatly denied. If it was flatly denied, the Torah wouldn't even tell us. The fact that it was mentioned, it has to be made an impact. And the impact, I'm suggesting, is the difference between the word pen and the word ula. And if you'll say, it's crazy, look what they did to us. The guy, look what they did to us. They destroyed us. That's taka true. They did destroy us. But it could have been even worse. If Hitler would have won the war, what was his next, where was he coming next?
Here.
To America. And what was his first agenda in America?
To
kill every Jew. There were a lot of Jews in America at that time. More Jews than there are now, because they all got lost. They all disappeared. Can't even identify them anymore. There were a lot of Jews. His next step was to come to America and kill every Jew in America. How come he failed? He didn't try hard enough. Why didn't he try hard enough? Why didn't he try hard enough? He tried plenty hard. But why didn't he try hard enough? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, don't you dare. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu failed to stop him, but Moshe Rabbeinu, at least to a degree, I mean, this is all Jewish. Who says what I'm saying is right? I know what I'm saying is not necessarily about. I'm just trying to understand, because this word bothers me very much. The word pen bothers me very much. Pen means I don't want to do this. Oh, really? You don't want to do it? History has shown otherwise, that you do really want to do it. How could it say the word pen? He wanted to do it. So the answer is, it could have been even worse. Who changed that from it being worse? Moshe Rabbeinu's argument. Okay, boys, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for listening.